Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott joins me on the West Shore Hotline on this beautiful Friday morning. The Bills taking on the New York Jets in New Jersey on Sunday afternoon. Good morning, coach. I hope you had a pleasant week and a great morning.
Good morning to everyone out there as well as you, Sal. It's good to be with you guys on this Friday morning.
And obviously, we'll talk about the Jets and the injury report. If I can, though, for a minute, I do want to rewind quickly. And I know the game is past and behind us on Sunday night. But I want to recognize it was the 1,000th game in franchise history. And, oh, what a great, great way to open up the final season at Highmark Stadium. But after all of that, we talked a little bit about resetting. How do you reset after that and get everybody back on the right frame of mind, especially in a bit of a short week, considering it was a late night?
Yeah, it's part of week one wins, right? You want to win, you want to get that first win under your belt, but you can't, kind of stew on it too long. You got to move forward, and this league is a week to week league, and there's a tremendous amount of parity, as everyone knows, in this league. So we've got a big challenge in front of us this weekend here.
And then obviously Josh Allen named AFC Offensive Player of the Week for his performance. Do you do something special with the team? Do you announce it in front of the team? Josh, obviously, he's won a bunch of these now. 16, I believe, is the number. How do you celebrate that as a team? Because everybody always says, of course, it is a team award.
No, it is. And Josh would be the first to say that as well. And, what we try and do is get it announced just prior to it being announced publicly. And so that's usually, right after our walkthrough time and before we go out to practice, where guys can recognize, in this case, Josh, and celebrate with him a little bit.
Sean, before we get to the injury report, we'll just set up the matchup here, a division game against the New York Jets. What's been the messaging as far as knowing it's a division game? And you guys have been very good in the division. I saw the note here this morning. Since 2020, 800 winning percentage, 24-6 in AFC East games. Why is it so important, and what has been the messaging about this being a divisional contest?
Well, the division is one of the most important things we can focus on in terms of short-term goals. And you control the division, you get a berth into the playoffs, which sets up everything else. So, we always focus on playing well at home and playing well in the division.
Let's get to the Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. I know a lot of eyes are on Ed Oliver and seeing him in a boot yesterday. Sean, if you can update us on him and his status and anybody else who you might want to talk about, possibly what their status is for Sunday, I should say.
Sure, yeah. So Ed will be out this game. Got stepped on at a practice on Wednesday, unfortunately, and just kind of a thing that happens from time to time in practice. And, from there, we'll see where it goes in the next week as far as his status goes. But for this game, at least, he'll be out.
Okay, Coach, you had a few other guys that were limited in their participation. Jordan Hancock practiced Wednesday, was limited Thursday. Anything going on there that we should be concerned with?
We'll see. It's one day at a time for him and some of these other guys here. We'll know a little bit more today. We think he'll be available and from a health standpoint, and we'll see where that goes.
And then obviously Tre'Davious White returned to practice this week. Good to see him out there. He said that he was feeling good, but of course, obviously, his status will be determined by you and your coaching staff and medical staff. What have you seen from Tre'Davious White this week, and what's his status for today or Sunday?
Right, he's had a pretty good week of getting back on the field, and we'll see where today leads us again. We had a walkthrough yesterday. Just trying to slow some things down for the players coming off of that Sunday night game and making sure that they're fresh and ready to go. This is a 1 o'clock game for us, and we haven't played a 1 o'clock game in several weeks. So we've got to make sure we are ready to come out of the gates here early on here, which we haven't done, like I said, in a few weeks here.
All right, without Ed Oliver, Coach, we know that means T.J. Sanders, Deion Walker, and of course Daquan Jones, a veteran, but what did you see from the two rookies, T.J. Sanders and Deion Walker, last week in their performance?
Well, the effort was there just in terms of the execution and some of the level of detail and level of you know, kind of a standard that we talk about play in and play out. These guys are young guys, and it's going to take some time for them to get to that level and get to that level on a consistent basis. And they worked hard this week on, you know, looking to improve on that, and that'll continue today.
You said this week needs to be hard. I believe that was the quote, and I appreciated your response, what that means. It doesn't mean really going super hard at practice. Of course you want that, but there's a lot of other things that go into that, which is hard conversations, looking at yourself in the mirror. How did you think that went for you guys this week, the messaging to the coaches and the players?
Well, I believe it has unfolded as we had hoped. You know, you want to have, even though you win, that win can cover up some things. So you want to make sure you're digging deep into the body of the work and the conversations that need to be had, and technique things that we need to improve on fundamentally as well, and that we're moving our team forward, making sure we are emphasizing those areas, those key areas for ourselves and the players individually, and then the team collectively.
All right, let's take a look at your opponent this week, a team you have been familiar with, but they do have a new coaching staff, a new quarterback, and they ran the ball really well last week and did a lot of other things really well last week. What kind of issues do the Jets pose on the offensive side of the ball with Justin Fields and Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall in that group?
Well, they're talented there. As you mentioned, a few of the stars that they have and difference-making type players. You know, the biggest thing I thought that they did well was they kept the ball away from Aaron Rodgers and, you know, didn't allow him to touch it as many times as he would have liked. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers had about 50-some plays, which is probably about 10 under the average that you'd expect in a normal game. And so with that, then, you know, the Jets were able to control the line of scrimmage and run the football well, and in doing so, again, you know, kind of manage the time of possession in their favor.
And we've all seen the Jets over the years. They have a lot of talent on the defensive side. What did you see from that side of the ball when you watch film?
Not surprising, really. They were able to do some things affecting the quarterback and you know, causing some havoc in certainly one-dimensional situations that Pittsburgh found themselves in. So I think the key here is to do our best to stay two-dimensional in terms of being in those you know, two-dimensional situations where we can either run it or throw it.
And you mentioned this week a couple of familiar faces for you. I know that you coach with Coach Wilkes, Steve Wilkes, who's now their defensive coordinator. And, of course, Eric Washington, who had been on your staff as a defensive line coach. So what can you tell us about what you know about how those guys prepare for a game and having their guys ready?
All right, two really good coaches, both really good people. I've learned a lot by being around them, coaching alongside of them, and they're going to do a great job over there.
Coach, thanks a lot for this. I know you have practice today. And then, of course, good luck on Sunday against the Jets in New Jersey. We'll talk again next week.
All right. Sounds great, Sal. Thanks again.
All right. Welcome back to One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. Time now for this week's Timbits Timeout, presented by, of course, Tim Hortons, where we solicit the fans to ask questions. We'll get to the fan question in a second. For this week's player guest, which is wide receiver Joshua Palmer, fresh off the practice field. Thanks for zipping over here in short order. Appreciate it. We talked to you after you signed with this team about what you thought it would be like, you know, being an Ontario native, being a lot closer to home, playing in front of this crowd, and you kind of gave us your thoughts on it. Did it exceed expectations on Sunday night? What was your first regular season game experience like?
It was unforgettable. I think it was exactly what I expected it to be.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you nailed it. Good for you.
I thought it was going to be very loud, very exciting, almost like a party.
Well, you almost were partying at the end, standing on the bench there, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if we all anticipated to have a dramatic ending like that. I mean, it ended the right way, but as it was happening and unfolding, are you like thinking, what's running through your head? Are you like, oh my gosh, I think we're gonna do this?
The fumble, because my coach was saying how we're gonna get it back, and I was like, okay. And then
Coach Henry's telling you that?
Yeah, Coach Henry's like, we're gonna get it back, and then they fumbled, we recovered it, and we were so close.
Yeah.
And we scored, and I was like, oh, we actually might come back and win this. And then we scored and then didn't get the two-point conversion. Then right. I was like, ah, dang, we might not actually get this. Right. And then they fumbled. No, that we stopped them.
Stopped them, right.
And I was like, oh, we might actually win this. Right. And then on my catch, I was like, oh, yeah, we definitely won this.
Well, your celebration after that catch was indication.
When you got that, when you got back out on the field with Josh, with minute 20 something to go in
no
the game,
timeouts.
No timeouts. What was the vibe like in the lock in the huddle? How much confidence was there? Was there, you know, I mean, what was that like?
It was cool. I mean, the guys on the sideline, I know Cook was just telling us, he came to me, at least I remember, he was like, we need you, bro. And I was like, all right. And then he was just going all out to our receivers, like, we need you guys, like, right now. So I was happy that I had the trust of the guys that going into the first game.
So on that catch, that obviously puts you guys in field goal range because you go out at the 35 in Baltimore territory. Mm. First of all, that's a seed of a throw. I don't have to tell you that. But that's like layering a pass with zip, which is not easy to do. But had you gotten your head all the way around in time before that? Because that ball was on you in a hurry. And I'm sure you've learned the last few months, you got to get your head around quick with Josh throwing to you.
Yeah.
But had your head gotten all the way around and then all of a sudden it's just kind of stuck in your hands?
No, I once it was man-to-man, I knew that I had a chance on getting the ball because that route is pretty much undefeated, honestly, but especially to the field. But when I saw it was man, I knew, oh, yeah, there's a high probability I'm going to get this. And when I broke off the DB, I looked back and just saw the ball on a line. I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, because he threw it before you were out of your break.
Yeah.
He tried to – the DB tried to undercut it, thinking he was going to get it, and yeah. Josh put it over the top of him and
yeah, I think
layered it perfect.
And I think that's where we've kind of developed our connection, you know, because I knew the way the DB was playing. I knew how I was going to come out. I knew he was going to try to undercut, and then I think Josh knew that I was going to take that angle and then just do it right over top of his head.
Right.
Yeah, and that only comes from reps.
Right.
Right? I mean, this is where – reps pay off.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you hear about, I think fans hear, oh, we got to rep it in practice, chemistry. That's an example of chemistry right there. Because all the things you just said, you don't have any of that without reps.
Yeah.
And conversation back and forth,
like
right?
I feel like you have the physical chemistry where you run the route, throw the ball, and then you have film chemistry where he might not throw that in a practice, but he sees it like, okay, yeah, I know this. I know he's going to do that. Every time.
Yeah, because he clearly read your body language on that. Because, like I said, it was out before you were out of your break, and then all of a sudden it's there.
We were talking just before we came on about the stats in the game, and there's always been this mantra here, well, the last couple of years, about this everybody eats thing where he's going to spread. 10 guys got targeted for the Bills in this game. Mm. 9 of them caught balls. And there's, you know, top 5 guys had, you know, Kincaid had 4. Everybody else had more than that. You, Cook, Shakir, Coleman. So the ball did get spread around. What'd that feel like to you coming here and being in a game for the first time that it was going to get spread around? I know it always gets spread around in practice and all that, but what'd that feel like for you, this everybody each thing, and then to have it play out the way it did?
You just have to be ready when your number's called. I think that's what it is. You just never know. You never know when he's going to scramble. Right. You never know when they're going to call the play for you. You never know when the ball might get tipped. Like, in Keenan's case, you just don't know. So just run every route as if you're going to get the ball. Yeah. I mean, I think receivers, we do that anyways, but it's just more emphasized here.
You've played on an offense with, like, Keenan Allen and some guys who were, like, who were the finger quote number one guys and stuff. So you knew that, when you know, sometimes you weren't going to get a chance, right? How does that affect you during the week getting ready for a game knowing, like, you know what, it don't matter? Yeah. I could be the guy.
Yeah. You get dialed in into the playbook because you never know when a guy might go down or like when a guy might have to tie a shoelace. Right. So you have to jump in for him. Or if a guy might get tired, you have to jump in for him. But everybody is liable. There was a play where Josh got to the third read, and I was the third read on the end, and he threw it.
Yeah.
But it's just running that route, understanding, like, yeah, you're not the first read, but still run it as if you're the main read. Like, know your role. As the third read, know your role.
Yeah. Your dad was a little busy yesterday at the Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment Bills partnership announcement. For those that don't know, Joshua's dad, Keith Palmer, is the Deputy Minister of Sport for the province of Ontario. My question to you is, because he was an athlete himself, what was the biggest thing you learned about sports from him?
I played a lot of sports growing up. They put me in football. They put me in basketball. They put me in soccer. Anything that I could just play and get used to different movements, different motor skills. You know, it helps with every other sport.
Angles.
You know, because in soccer I played goalkeeper. I played receiver. In basketball, I played the guard, and I was always driving to the basket. Well, that helps with, like, running routes, driving down the field, or being a ball handler and making moves on the line of scrimmage. Like, everything kind of
releases, right?
Everything plays into each other, kind of. But he had me playing football early, like, very, very early. I don't remember not playing sports.
Yeah. Fair enough. All right, time now for this week's question from our fans, courtesy of Tim Hortons in this Timbits Timeout. So this question is from Greg, and he asks, "Hello, Mr. Palmer." Very formal. "Excellent catch Sunday. It was a huge play. Can you tell me what it's like being in the huddle with Josh? He can be such a joker, but when I see him in the game, he's laser focused. Thank you. What is your description of him?"
That is true. It's funny. I was literally telling somebody yesterday. Actually, my sister I was talking to. I think. Was it my sister? Somebody. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I was saying how, you know, in practice, in the huddle, you know, he keeps it light. He's always joking around. So everybody kind of feeds off of that, and people kind of, like, drop their guard and just practice loosely. But in the game, it's still that relaxed mindset, but it's, like you said, laser focused. And, you know, you already know what to expect out of him. You know what to expect of him during practice.
Yeah.
And you know what to expect of him during the game. Like, you're not going to get a guy who's up and down and you don't really know what you're going to get. But it's fun, you know. In the huddles, he's not tripping. He's just asking, like, where the guys are. Like, for example, who would be Z on this play? Who's X on this play? And just full confidence, full trust. You know, sometimes we'll even be talking, leaving the huddle, you know, trying to adjust the play or not. And, you know, it's cool. It's very fluid.
Yeah. Well, Joshua, thanks for the time. Appreciate you stopping in. Good luck on Sunday. Continue to stay healthy.
Thank you.
And good luck getting another victory.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, that's Josh. Joshua Palmer, Bills wide receiver, joining us.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. The Bills have just made a change at punter, waiving Brad Robbins after one game and replacing him with Cameron Johnston, who has appeared over the years with the Eagles, Texans, and Steelers. So that's just in. New kicker, new punter already this year, Bulldog. How do you like that?
Well, chemistry with the kicker is out the window. Prater's been here 4 days, so that's not a big deal. You gotta worry about that, I
although
guess.
Night one didn't go that badly, I thought.
No, right.
You know? Anyway.
But the punter was at the bottom of a chart. I saw charting punts. I try not to get too bent out of shape about something like that, but he was at the bottom. He had the worst week of any punter in the league.
I could see Ross on the plane home from New Orleans. Look, other than you, I can't think of anyone else who'd be looking at punt charts. But, you know, Ross is dug in like that.
I didn't go seeking them out. It just came across my feed.
Okay, you can be modest about
it. Let's go to the West Her Heartline for our punter and analysts here. Right? No.
Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Hello, Ross.
What's up, boys? How are you?
Great. How was New Orleans? Fun town.
Yeah, it is. That's, like, high on the list of cities that are absolutely fantastic to visit that I would never want to live in.
Okay.
You know, I mean, Vegas. Think about like Vegas, New Orleans, even at this stage of my life, New York City, you know, like incredible to visit for a weekend. Can't imagine actually living there. I mean, if I lived in New Orleans, I'd be 400 pounds.
Yeah, I get that. Honolulu, right? Remember last year you went out there for like one day? That'd be tough.
Twice.
Wow. Yeah. Right.
So yeah. Add Honolulu to the list. Thank you, buddy.
Well, let's get right to Bills Ravens then. I don't know if you were able to see much of it live. I'm guessing you're up to speed, though, of course. I mean, what a night, Ross. Another just Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson duel. Similar, I think, to a point anyway, to the playoff game where you had, you know, maybe the Ravens were the better team, but one or more mistakes did them in where the Bills were pretty clean and they pull out an unprecedented comeback, winning by, well, being down 15 with 4 minutes to go and winning in regulation. Pretty amazing stuff.
Well, so a couple of things. One is my flight was delayed coming back from New Orleans, but I was able to watch a bunch of it live.
Okay.
But then I am doing the I'm doing Browns Ravens on Sunday for CBS. So I've already gone back and I've already watched the entire game, the tape of it. And what occurred to me is that on some level, the Bills do to the Ravens what the Chiefs kind of do to the Bills. You know, it's like the Ravens might have more talent or the Ravens might get the better of the action, but then somehow, some way late, you know, the Bills find a way to make the plays and the Ravens have a series of unfortunate events go against them. You know, I mean, like, you think about Derrick Henry never fumbles. He fumbled. Ed Oliver had a terrific game, by the way. But, like, the tipped ball that Keon Coleman catches for a touchdown, you know, the missed extra point, it really is crazy how many things had to happen for the Bills to win that game.
Yeah, I mean, to have a game where your quarterback throws, Ross, 251 yards in the fourth quarter, two rushing touchdowns. I mean, we've said so much about Josh Allen already in his career here, but it was another, I mean, that's a good game for most normal people. Like, even really, really good quarterbacks were like, it's not their best, but it'd be like, yeah, you know, 250, couple of rushing touchdowns, on to next week.
He'd be fantasy quarterback 3 just from the fourth quarter, something like that.
Right. I mean, do you run out of, I mean, you talk, we talk 20 hours a week about these games, sometimes more. You're doing these games, you're doing all these podcasts. Do you run out of ways to talk about how great a player is?
Not him. I mean, I'll tell you guys a couple things, right, that you're going to like, hopefully. Number one, watching the game live after I did Cardinals-Saints, and let me just say this, like, Spencer Rattler played pretty well for the Saints, and Kyler Murray played pretty well for the Cardinals. But as I'm watching that game, I'm just imagining there's got to be like 20, maybe at least 20, fan bases watching Bills Ravens. Just, it's like that meme from Napoleon Dynamite, like, I want that, you know, like just wanting a quarterback like that so desperately. I might even post this. I was thinking during the game, if there were no salary cap, I would love to know what the true value is of, like, Josh Allen to the Bills franchise, like, yeah, the value creation from him, because I got to tell you guys, it's more than what he's getting paid, right? Like,
triple.
If Josh Allen were truly a free agent and any team could sign him, man, he would get a lot of money. I mean, he would get a lot of money, because not only is he exactly what you're looking for as a player, You know, he's big, he's durable, he's tough, he's strong, has a big arm, he's fast, all those things. But I've only been around him a couple times. I know people that are friends with him. He's like the greatest guy. So I just want all the Bills fans driving right now, I just can't emphasize enough how happy you guys should be, how blessed you are to have him as your quarterback. Because if you watch him on TV and you think he seems like a good guy, he is. I mean, he's even better than that. He's like the greatest dude. Somebody, we have a mutual friend, and they called him a Labrador. You know, like,
yep.
Like just that type of like happy puppy, you know, like that's him. He is everything you could ever want in a franchise quarterback. And I don't think it's an exaggeration to say, you know, if he was truly a free agent and any team could sign him, I don't know what the number is, but you're talking $75 million, maybe more than that, because he really is worth it.
Ross, just also on the game, you say you're sort of prepping for Baltimore. A tipped pass is a tipped pass. A fumble is a fumble. Is there more? Like, people immediately went to the Ravens losing more often than anybody else with big leads, which, you know, they also have big leads all the time, so that would be they'd be more likely to fall into that category. But, you know, too conservative. In the playoffs, for me, when I watch them and they lose these tough games, it's like Jackson needs to run more. I sort of have that kind of basic reaction to their games. And, you know, he has a great run the play before the Henry fumble, then nothing the following series. Do you have a take like that? Like, when a comeback like that happens, I feel like more of the spotlight is on the team that lost and how they did it.
Yeah, well, I think the part, like, some of that stuff's fluky. But what's kind of unacceptable to me is the two catches they allowed at the end of the first half.
Okay.
In order to be able to get, you know, that field goal at the end of the half, that's an unacceptable one to me, right? Like that is, and I can't remember, I think it was the second one got out of bounds, like mm-hmm. No chance you allow them to have two big catches and get out of bounds. That felt like something the Chiefs would do to the Bills, not to bring up bad memories, but
no, you're right.
That is unacceptable. And then similarly, I would say, you know, to allow some of the deep balls that they did late in the game. I mean, if they really just, if they were able to do what they did and not, you know, not give up those big plays, they would have won. And then in the last three series, Lamar only ran it, okay, one time, and he got a first down.
Yep, 13 yards.
That's the other thing that to me would be pretty unacceptable is like, wait a minute, what are we doing here where we're allowing this guy, like we're only having the ball in his hands one time? I mean, he's the guy that makes it go. He's the guy that is the difference maker, and so that would be pretty frustrating.
Yeah, I think he shies away a little bit in these big moments sometimes. The end of the half is a good one to bring up. That was another play. So Ross, it's 20-10, and the Bills are at the Baltimore 47 with 8 seconds. That's one of those plays where you can hold everybody, and you know the Bills don't have a timeout. So if Allen goes, good luck to him. But you got a new kicker, like maybe not as long as the average guy. That's one of those plays where you could get up on the line and just hold everybody at the line, 5-yard penalty, and all right, now what do you do? 2 seconds, you're at the 42.
Nah, they added some rule the last couple years that if you do that,
oh,
they'll give them the 5 yards and the clock will go back.
Oh, damn. All right, never mind.
Yeah. That everybody.
That used to be my favorite thing. Now I have to stop with that.
Everybody knows that now, which is why they got rid of it.
Okay, well, that's good. They should have then. That's right. It was a way to sort of game the game.
Ross, obviously the end of the game is the thing that's been talked about the most, but the other 55 minutes of the game happened too, and the Bills had a very tough time, to say the least, handling both Jackson and Henry. I mean, just the Henry rushing was just a terror to watch. How worrisome, because on one hand, you know, they've got the Jets coming up this week, and the Jets had a pretty good day running the ball against the Pittsburgh Steelers, not as good as Baltimore had against Buffalo, but still pretty good. Fields is athletic, not as good as Jackson, but still challenging. And I just wonder, like, is it just a bad matchup, Baltimore? Like, you already said, like, the Bills do to Baltimore kind of what Kansas City does to Buffalo, but in a different way, I like the matchup against Kansas City more than I do against Baltimore. I think Baltimore is more capable of just putting you down in a way that the Bills very, very infrequently have that done to them.
Well, it's funny. We've talked about this before, probably last year. By every statistical measure, the Ravens are the best team in football. You know, you look at yards per play, like, they are the analytic darlings. But they're also like a really good example of that is not, you know, that is not what ultimately matters. What ultimately matters is whether or not you win the game and how you play when it matters most. And the Ravens are like the regular season champs of the world, and they have not found a way to get past Buffalo or Kansas City in the playoffs. But you're right. You know, there's part of me that feels like, you know, I do these power rankings on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast every Tuesday. And I think the best way to do a power ranking show is to say, who would you pick? Who do you think would win a best of seven, you know, like a NBA or baseball series in like Wichita, Kansas, or my backyard, some neutral location, right? And the answer is like, I feel like I would take the Ravens. Because I feel like over time, they're just a better team, and they would win more of the games in a series. Their problem is it doesn't feel like they can win the one that counts, you know, the one that matters in the playoffs.
Wichita, by the way, another city you might like to visit but not live in. I think I've just been there a couple of times, and I'm just going to throw that cheap shot in.
Hold on a second. You've been there?
I have. I've been to the dog track in Wichita, by the way. That's
that's living right there. Like a place. That does not seem like a place I'd even want to visit.
Well, I'm not going that far. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. How about the, if we haven't totally covered it here, the AFC landscape after week one? Kansas City loses. The worthy injury, Ross, might be big. Cincinnati, 7 yards in the second half. Houston, 9 points. The Dolphins and the Patriots. Not to mention the Jets, who may be impressed but still lost. It was already kind of like there was a top tier, Ross. Maybe, I don't know. I don't want to say this about the Chiefs, but is it maybe more likely than it seemed a week ago that Buffalo, Baltimore, or even Kansas City are going to come out on top?
Yeah, probably. I mean, we talked about this last week, but I cannot possibly state enough how important it is that the Bills got that win. Like, this whole season, these next 16 games are all about getting the number one seed. And now they have a game up. You know, that they have a game advantage on Kansas City, who looked vulnerable, and on Baltimore, who I don't know if I'd say they looked vulnerable, but they have a game up on those guys. They got to keep it. You know, the Patriots didn't look very good. You know, the Jets maybe look better offensively than we think. The Dolphins looked horrendous. You know, if the Bills aren't the number one seed this year, they're never going to be.
When, right?
Yeah, this is the year. And to win that game Sunday night, that was, like, that's probably the difference. Or could be the difference, right? Like, that. Mm-hmm. That's a huge, huge, huge factor. And now the Chiefs have to play the Eagles, you know, which is interesting on Sunday, probably the game of the day, but another very losable game for Kansas City.
While we're on the Chiefs, what did you think of the Chargers? Like, are they, I feel like maybe this did come up last week with us. Are they a team? It's only 1 week, I know, but like, could they be the team that sort of cracks that top tier, the top three that we've talked so often about?
That would surprise me, but they look pretty good, man. I mean, you know, Herbert, that's about as well as I've ever seen him play. And maybe more importantly, you know, the Chiefs are already getting banged up with Xavier Worthy out, and, you know, I don't know how long, and Rashee Rice is suspended. So now they got to play these next few games, you would think, without their two best receivers. And then, you know, the Chargers kind of, I thought, beat them up front on both sides of the ball, which I thought was really, really interesting and probably noteworthy with them going against Philly on Sunday. So certainly the Bills fans, you know, you guys have a heck of a day on this upcoming Sunday, right? You cheer on the Bills to beat the Jets, and then at 4:25, you got to root like heck for the Eagles to beat the Chiefs and drop the Chiefs to 0-2. That would be gigantic.
Ross, I want to ask you about Jalen Carter. So we found out a short bit ago he'll not be suspended for spitting at Dak Prescott. He did get a fine. They're counting the game he missed by being ejected basically as his suspension. What I thought about you during, and you had that game, I know, and we also saw Prescott spit on the field like a couple seconds before. I'd love your take. I thought about you because I was thinking that in dog piles at the line of scrimmage, I feel like there's probably been some spitting. Like this is one where it's sort of before the play and the camera's on it and it's plain to see. But as a lineman yourself, I wondered if like, yeah, well, hopefully not, I think, but maybe there's been worse. There's been that, or, you know, whatever happens, you know, in the trenches.
Yep. So two things, unbelievably unacceptable, obviously, and just insanely selfish to do that to your team in that moment. And interestingly, I was spit on in my face twice while I was starting for the Bills in 2004. I don't know. I guess I just had that effect on people.
It was the uniform.
Once was against Cleveland at home. Once was at Cincinnati. The Cleveland guy, I don't know how he did it, but he must have, maybe there was a TV timeout or something, because for him it was not spit. Like, he had a mouthful of water. that he spit in my face. But I think that guy had some mental health issues, and I just didn't want him to kill me or, like, break my arm. And then the Bengals guy, this is back when, like, I didn't say anything after the game, and this is back when I guess there wasn't enough cameras for them to catch it. Obviously, the refs didn't see it. The Bengals guy, I remember screaming at Marvin Lewis, the Bengals head coach, because you know, I knew him from my time with him in Washington, and I wanted him to send the guy back out so I could try to break his leg, but he did not.
He wouldn't.
So I've actually interacted with the Bengals guy either on text or social media, and he's embarrassed by it. So I'm not going to say these guys' names.
Okay.
You know, they were in their 20s, and they did a dumb thing. It's not like I don't need to, you know, 20 years later, literally bring it up and get them in trouble. But to answer your question, yes. So interestingly, only ever happened to me twice in my life, and it was the two Ohio games in the 2004 season, infamous 2004 season with the Buffalo Bills.
Back-to-back weeks. That team, I mean, you know, you lived it.
Was it back-to-back weeks?
Yes. The last seven games where the Bills were on that roll, including the Steeler loss at the end, 29 takeaways in those seven. Like, more than four per game takeaways by the Bills defense that year.
Wow.
It's just that, what an incredible run that was in 04. Well, you know, wonder if, like, those that you filled the story out, like, you know, they were young, but I wonder if some guys, like, that's their thing, you know, like, just this is the thing that I do when I can't control myself anymore. I'm just going to spit at you. Anyway,
so I think you guys know this, but, like, you know, like, Trey Teague was the center when I was with the Bills. And I don't know if I ever told you guys this, but Trey Teague was the center when I was at the Bills. And after a game one time, he told my wife's father, at the time my fiance's father, that I was the meanest guy in the NFL, meanest guy he'd ever seen or played with. And my father-in-law kind of laughed and smiled. And then, you know, he drove back to Pennsylvania 5 hours after the post-game tailgate. And he tells the story now that, like, about halfway through the drive, he was like, wait, my daughter's marrying the meanest guy in the NFL?
do I want that?
he thought it was cool in the moment when Trey said that to him. But then when he was driving home, he was like, that doesn't sound like the person you want marrying your daughter. And McNally always said that about me, too. I don't know. I don't think I was mean. I just thought that was the only way it was fun. I wasn't blocking people is not fun. Trying to really, like, kill guys and throw them to the ground and smash them, like, that's what I enjoyed about the sport. Like I'm not one of those guys, oh, I miss the camaraderie of the locker room. Like, I miss the violence. you can't replicate that anywhere else in life. Oh, I got to go. I got another thing at 5:25. Sure. I got to go, boys.
All right. Bye, Ross.
See ya.
Ross Tucker.
There you go. There's our man, Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider. Ross Tucker, by the way. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. Your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side.
A tradition unlike any other.
Why are they losing?
I think it's you guys and your negativity. My guess is this show is just crushing these guys at this point, and that it probably is weighing on them.
Yeah, right.
Mentally.
That might be right.
It's time for Howard to pick the Bills!
Home opener, final year at Highmark, prime time, place is going to be nuts. I will take the Bills. It's going to be a great game.
Allen has time. Now pressure coming from Van Noy. Throws, it's high, and it's caught in the end zone by Keon Coleman. Here's the snap, hold is down, kick on the way, and it is good. And Matt Prater, in his first game as a Buffalo Bill, has won the ball game here in week one.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Time for Howard to pick the Bills. And, you know, we'll run through the schedule, see how we feel. It's going to be a nice little run here, we would think. The Bills are 1-0. They go to the Jets to play New York, to play the Jets. The Jets had a nice opener.
Good. Yeah, their offense looked good.
It took a 60-yard field goal to beat them late. So Bills-Jets.
I watched that whole game.
Moral victory for the Jets?
A little bit. You know, Jets fans won't look at it that way because, you know, the Jets fans have gone through a little pain. But I thought the offense looked promising. I really did. I thought, well, we know Breece Hall is really good. And I thought Fields did okay. I think it's going to be a fairly conservative game plan that leans on running the ball. But their defense was not good. I know Josh has had some struggles in years past against the Jets. But I think he should be able to carve that defense up. So I'll take the Bills.
Bills win. And then play a team that, they look like they are having some trouble right now. Mm-hmm. Mike McCarthy and the Dolphins. A Thursday night game here at Highmark Stadium.
Mike McDaniels.
Sorry, Mike McDaniel.
What did I say?
Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
But he would have struggles, too, if he was still coaching.
Quite possibly.
Yeah, I don't, I don't know even where to go with Miami anymore. I mean, they're going to finish last in the division at this rate. So take the Bills.
Bills. Home Saints, the hottest ticket in town. Really is.
Yeah, most expensive ticket.
Try to get a ticket to that game. It's like $300.
Why?
Sunday, 1 o'clock. Nice day.
Love Sunday,
and it's
1
the
o'clock.
It's the only one.
The next one is
really?
November, mid-November.
There's only one other, and it's
nice
November.
Warm weather Sunday 1.
Yeah. Yep.
Bills roll.
Bills roll. Home Patriots, Sunday Night Football in the snow rivalry jerseys.
Yes.
So the Vrabel era didn't get off to a good start.
It did not.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Then again, the Raiders are probably a legitimately...
They're probably decent.
They're probably.
That's probably an 8-win team, 8-9-1 team.
Yeah, maybe more. But yeah,
I thought the Patriots could be like a tough game. I'm going to take a step back because I was not impressed with how they looked against the Raiders. I'll take the Bills to win.
Bills beat the Patriots. Bills at Atlanta. The Falcons looked respectably good.
Yeah,
Michael Penix and Bijan. Bijan. I just had a thought.
It's Bijan.
They're calling him Bijan Robinson.
I know he's not quite Derrick Henry, but he's pretty good. He wins in a different way. Just saying, you might want to fix the run defense by the time you play Atlanta.
All right, I'll take your thought and say that's a loss.
Oh, it wasn't my thought.
No, I'm putting that one on you.
Wow, Bills lose to the Falcons.
Folks, I was on Jeremy.
Bills at Panthers.
I'll take the Bills.
Bills. Carolina did not have a good day offensively. But Tet McMillan in week one looked the part. They threw to him a lot, and it worked. Chiefs at Bills.
I'm disappointed that the Chiefs lost and didn't pull something out of their rear end by thank you to the referees or any of that stuff. Hey, way to go, Chargers. I will take the Bills to beat the Chiefs.
Bills. With that win, I think I've been saying this, I guarantee the Bills will not go to Arrowhead because the Bills would have still one loss and the Chiefs would have at least two.
Probably more.
And they have to run the table to get there.
Right.
Play the Eagles this week, among other tough games. Bills at Dolphins.
Sweep.
Bills, Bucks at home.
I've had that a loss. I wouldn't tell you that I'm super impressed by Tampa, but like I said, there's just going to be one of those games where you think they're not going to lose and they'll find a way to lose it, and that was the one I decided to pick. So we'll go with Tampa winning.
You just love having them lose to the NFC because you feel like it's
true.
It's allowed. Bills at Texans.
I'll leave that one a loss for now. Short week. That's tough. Get on the plane Wednesday.
Losses.
That's tough.
At the Steelers.
I just can't. I cannot pick the Bills to lose to a Mike Tomlin Steelers team. I just will not, no matter what. I mean, the Bills could have half their starters out, and I think morally, I just can't live with myself if I pick to lose to the Tomlin Steelers.
Okay.
By the way, Aaron Rodgers did look good. Steelers defense did not.
Mm-hmm.
Steelers defense was trash the other day.
Yeah. Then it's Bills-Bengals. In Buffalo, 425. Before you get this one, I want to give you a couple of stats because these are amazing. Joe Burrow, by the way, I don't know if you know this, he played in the preseason to avoid a slow start. How'd that work? Didn't work.
Not so much.
When the Bills play the Bengals, this is, I don't know if there's another comparison in sports. Burrow in December is incredible. His splits in December, I'm pulling him up for his career because you get Joey Burr into December. Last year, he went 15 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, a quarterback rating of 115. It's the best month he has. Their record in his career in December is consistently excellent.
Yeah, but what's it in September?
Well, the Bills play them in December.
I know, but I'm just saying, from their perspective, they're burying themselves in the first part of the season.
Burrow in his career by month, September 8-10. October 10-10, November 8-7, December 10-3.
Wow.
Anyway,
wow.
Bills Bengals in December.
Well, I mean, I was going to pick them to beat the Bengals, but you just convinced me again, so I'll give the Bills a loss.
Wow, why would you do that?
You just told me he's 10-3.
Bills at Patriots.
I'll make that a win.
Bills at Browns.
Way to go, Browns. They did Browns things the other day. Win.
Eagles at Bills.
Loss.
And then Jets at Bills.
Win.
You got four?
Five losses.
Quick
question. Atlanta, Tampa, Houston, Cincy, and Philly.
Quick question for you two. The best offense the Bills will play this entire regular season, was it Sunday night or will it be Philly? Not taking into account could Philly have clinched and they're resting.
Yeah.
Just because I think part of the Bills' defense problems the other night was they played one of the best offenses in the league. Period.
Yep.
Is it the best they'll face?
Say yes.
I think yes. Best offense.
Until I see A.J. Brown look normal.
Okay. I think that's part of, you know, the giving up the 40 points.
Yep.
We know they've had trouble against Derrick Henry. And Baltimore's offense was one of the best in the league last year, and they had everybody back. So, anyway, don't go crazy unless they look bad defensively against the Jets.
All right. Good to see you.
Nice to see you, boys.
Howard picks the Bills. 12-5.
12-5 for the second straight time.
Disaster. Disaster hits. Team last night. The team on Sunday's not gonna. They're gonna go 17-0. You're over here a party pooper.
Sorry to be the negative guy.
All right.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we are, hour number two on a Thursday. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker, and we welcome in at this time the Hall of Famer Thurman Thomas. Thurm, welcome. Enjoying your week so far? Sunday night made it a nice week, right?
Yeah, I'm on to the Jets.
Yeah, on to the New York.
I'm on to the Jets, man.
Division opponent.
Yeah,
gotta get
exactly.
ready.
Exactly. Yeah, we're. I mean, if you look at Josh's career, he's kind of struggled against the Jets. Not a very good record against
especially
them.
Down there.
Especially down there. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'm.
Down there
it's
for sure.
It's football season. I'm just I'm focused on like okay, what can we do here?
Because
we're not gonna. I mean, how often are we gonna see Derrick Henry's come through the entire schedule? You know.
Right.
But. This Jets team, they're physical.
Yep, they've revamped their offensive line.
Yep.
That right tackle, the rookie, Armon Membu, has handled T.J. Watt really without much
right.
of an issue, especially in the run game, I'm talking more than anything. And they had to put Joe Tippmann in at right guard in place of Elijah Vera Tucker, who's out for the year with a torn triceps.
Mm-hmm.
And those two guys worked pretty well together on the right side.
Yeah.
Breece Hall and Justin Fields are not Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, but pretty good.
They
rolled up some rushing yards last week against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they did. And I think that was kind of like, you know, what would make the Jets better? And I think it's because of the revamping of the offensive line, but also Justin Fields, too. Like, you don't see, like, a Lamar every week, but there are quarterbacks in this league who can control a football game with their running ability. And I think we all know that. And, you know, hey. I mean, they probably should have beat Pittsburgh last week, but, you know, they didn't. But, you know,
they had a fumble on a kick.
Right,
on a
scoring 32 points.
I wish they'd have beaten Pittsburgh last week.
Oh, yeah. I know.
You know.
I wish they would have,
I wish they'd have beaten Pittsburgh last
week. Because you think they're going to be more desperate this week.
They're absolutely desperate.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they're still going to be desperate anyway.
Yeah.
Because they don't want – I mean, look, they still don't want to fall back. Two games or whatever, one game.
Yeah, they'd be 0-2.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think it's desperation for those guys over there with the New York Jets. So, but, you know, I heard some of you guys talk about, like, you know, like, what a perfect way of just looking at, like, how, I guess, like, Sean McDermott has grown over the years. And like, it's one of those deals, okay, well, we got a physical game. We're going shorts and walk through today.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
In week two. When you ever have that before?
I don't think we've ever had it that early. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that just shows you like how physical that game was and how this game is going to be. And you'll probably see the same thing Monday or Tuesday next week.
Because you're trying to buy an extra day of rest.
Exactly. Yeah. So
that's a good point. Yeah, I didn't think about the Thursday game playing actually into it as well.
Which is another division game too.
It's huge. And I'm going, it's a tough place to play. The Bills have struggled there. Actually, you know, I hate to say it like that. Josh has struggled there.
Yeah.
And you remember that.
Played better in last year's game than he did in the 2023 game where he had four turnovers.
They're not as good on the road. The Bills are not as good on the road. Nobody is except for the Dallas Cowboys. The Bills are not as good on the road as they are at home. And the Jets are a better team than they were. The question is right now, the Jets lose a squeaker to the Steelers.
Right.
The Bills are considered a much better team. I don't want to say much. How much a better team are the Bills than the Steelers?
Right.
Aaron Rodgers threw for four touchdowns. I'll take Josh over Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Steve is arguing that maybe defensive deficiencies aside, Buffalo's offense is superior to that of Pittsburgh's. So should we be worried, is the question.
I don't think so. Look, I'm telling you right now, man. I see Josh now, and this is year nine for him? Or is it eight?
Eight.
Year eight.
It's 29 years old.
In the last 3 years, he's gotten better and better and better every single year. Yeah. Every single year. And I'm looking at these moments like this could be a year where this Jets game is not even close.
It's possible.
It's because of him.
Yeah.
And him only.
Right.
And I think that when you have – you know, like you said, a desperate team now, but you also have this unique player on the other squad that is making a difference throughout each game, but really throughout the year, because that's all everybody want to see now.
Yeah.
They want to see Josh
every
single week. And, hey, hats off to – I'm glad he's here doing it with the Buffalo Bills.
Absolutely.
And this is just another stage for him to grow as a quarterback. I mean, it's New York. I mean, this game is going to be huge. And how he handles this from – here on out, I think it speaks wonders for Bills fans to us to relax a little bit more because I think he has this under control.
Two things with respect to preparation for an opponent that I want to ask you about. Number one, you know that the Ravens victimized this Bills defense in a couple of major areas. The read option game with Lamar, they victimized them that way. And then just some flat-out running plays, hat on a hat,
right,
with Derek. And we know that Justin Fields is a mobile quarterback, maybe not quite the level of Lamar Jackson. And we know Breece Hall is a 217-pound running back who runs 4.39, not quite as big as Derek, but similar in stature. Mm-hmm. So Buffalo's defense has to prepare for all of the things that the Ravens hit them on, knowing the Jets will try some of those, right?
Right.
And then secondarily, we know that this offensive coordinator for the Jets comes from Detroit, and we know how much Jared Goff victimized them with the rollout pass game. So is it fair to expect similar run plays that the Ravens utilized from the Jets and a rollout passing game from Justin Fields, knowing how much Jared Goff rang him up last year in Detroit to the tune of 42 points?
Well, first of all, I'm going to stay away from Ed Oliver right now.
Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that in a second. Okay, well,
I mean, that's kind of like leading into like what I really want to say. I think it does.
Preparation-wise, you got to be ready for all of those things.
You have to be ready for all those things. Because like you say, you're not going to have a Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. You got Justin Fields and
Breece Hall.
And two different style type of running backs and running quarterbacks, too. And Justin Fields, that showed, I think he threw the ball pretty well last week.
And they weren't afraid to let him.
And they weren't afraid to let him. That is my, and so when you have that comment, he's feeling real good about, like, Justin Fields, I was in Chicago, didn't work out or whatever, but now I'm in the offense now. And they're relying on me right now to lead this team to victory. So, I'm confident. But, you do have to prepare, for it all, really. I mean, everything.
Here's the thing. We talked about Lamar Jackson only threw the ball 19 times against the Bills, and they scored 40. Justin Fields only threw it 22, and they scored 32. Is there something about teams that are certainly not Baltimore doesn't fall into this category, but maybe a team like the Jets, and we were talking about this earlier in the show, having this strategy like, listen, the Bills are going to score some points. We got to keep up.
Right.
So Justin's going to have to throw the ball 30 times, not 22 times.
Will he, though?
That's my
question. That's only if you stop their run game.
That's
the question.
Yeah. As a fan and as a former player right now, I want to see Justin Fields throw the ball 45 to 50 times.
Yeah, right?
Right.
Exactly.
That's what,
on Bills'
is that
side.
Yes. So,
on the Bills' side.
If you're a Bills fan, you want him throwing.
You want him throwing the ball.
Yeah. Because that means Breece Hall is not getting 6.4 yards a carry, which is his career average against
the Bills. And you're not running time up the clock either, too. So, yeah, I would definitely want him to be.
Breece Hall carried the ball 19 times. Fields carried it. Fields threw
carries,
it 22.
Had 12 carries for 48 yards.
I think you want the ball in Fields' hands.
Yeah.
To throw it.
Yeah. Or even to run it. I mean, if you rush in your lanes and you do all of that and keep him in, I think that's what you do because I'm with Brownie. I think Fields is going to play action, get out.
Right.
And bootleg out.
Roll out.
He's going to just snap the ball and take off to the right, and guys are going to run the patterns that way. Him on the move is a problem, I think, for this Bills defense because they won't know where he's going to be.
Right.
And I think that's a strategy you might see from the Jets. But there's a lot of unknowns in this.
There is a lot of unknowns, too. I tell you.
New coaching staff.
Garrett Wilson, he looked great.
He looked tall.
I mean, it's like – like when you look at Lamar on the through the ball, what you said,
19 passes.
Time. I mean, so you're really getting a really good look at these receivers and the routes that they're running. Probably not, but because they don't, wouldn't say they don't have like a number one. They got some guys, Flowers or whatever. Garrett Wilson is the number one.
Yeah.
Justin Fields is going to be looking for him. So.
Right. Yeah. Garrett Wilson got 9 targets. Nobody else had more than 4.
Right. So
that was Breece Hall.
Yeah, I'll still take my chances with him throwing the ball 40 to 45 times.
You got to stop the run and hope that Josh has you ahead.
On the
scoreboard by a couple of scores, then you can get that, which is what you want.
And hopefully, Chris Benford will be on Wilson most of the time. He's our best DB. So, Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we can
all right, so
talk
let,
to Sunday.
Let's talk about this because you mentioned it. The Ed Oliver factor here. He pops up on the injury report today with an ankle injury, did not practice. There are reports that he's got a walking boot on and he's on a scooter. That's not good. He was clearly their best defensive player on the field last week. That doesn't mean other guys can't step up and come up with an effort, whether it's Rousseau or Bosa or somebody else. But if Ed doesn't play, that means T.J. Sanders is probably starting, the second-round draft choice, who had a very good preseason, flashed, has some pass rush ability.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'll take that all day.
It could be worse,
right? It could be worse. I'll take that all day with T.J. Sanders coming in there. Hey, look. It's a long season, you know. He's going to get 60 or 70 snaps at some point in the game this year, you know. And this might be the first one to do that. And so I think with him being, and I really do like him a lot, you know. This will be his opportunity to shine. So everybody's looking like, okay, well, Ed might not play. It might be out. Who else is going to step up here? Is it going to be Greg? Could it be Bosa? I mean, I would love to see something like that.
Rousseau and Bosa played well last week.
They did play well, you know.
I mean, Bosa had the forced fumble. They got it back. But, you know, he stripped Justice Hill of that ball when he ran running into his own backfield to get it.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, it's man, it's all there. And I think with them being in this type of defense, I mean, it's – I wouldn't say it's not a complicated defense, but you know what you're going to get with the Buffalo Bills. You know, you're going to get too deep. I mean, that's all. Yeah, keep them underneath or whatever.
That's what happened when Cole Bishop rushed from like 15 yards away. They caught him trying to disguise it and quick snap. So Bishop's like, oh man, what do I do now? It's
like, well, they should expect that from the Jets too. Some of that messing with the snap cadence.
That's right.
Because the Ravens caught them a couple times.
Ravens had good success playing with the tempo of the game and the snap count and all that, not using the play clock, just going up, snapping it. I think you can do that when all you're going to do is hand it off.
Right.
You know, when your quarterback's got to drop back to throw it, you can't quick snap. Because you want him to know, particularly a guy like Fields, you want him to know what he's throwing against as much as he can.
Yeah.
And so I don't think the Jets will use that as well or as effectively as Baltimore did, but you might see it anyway. You might see him go up tempo, just fast.
Yeah. Who was the other DB for the Jets besides?
It's Brandon Stevens, who was the cast off from Baltimore, who got benched last year.
Okay.
So he signed with the Jets. Big corner. He's 6'3".
Right.
You know.
Okay.
195. He's a big guy, but he can get turned around sometimes.
He can get turned around. I remember a couple of years ago when we signed Curtis Samuel. Then I thought like, oh yeah, I know who this cat is from Washington, speed guy, whatever. You know. Now I'm looking at you got Keon who had the most targets, right?
Yep. Big second half.
But Palmer, I'm telling you, could be a problem, too, on the other side.
Yeah.
And
you haven't even talked about Khalil yet.
And you haven't even talked about –
And Kincaid looked good last week.
Kincaid looked good. So I'm still – even though I had success against Josh in the years with the Jets, I'm probably more concerned than I've ever been before right now because they got two outside guys that can – flat out catch the football.
If you're the Jets defense,
It's something new for them.
This is an upgraded wide receiver room from last year. Even last year when they were scoring all those points.
Even last year. I think
it's better.
They're bigger. I mean, look at Keon.
Palmer's 6'1", 210.
Exactly. I mean,
he's that small.
Yeah, it's not. And he can run, too.
I thought about this as well. We've talked about this. They had three tight ends with Hawes, Knox, and Kincaid. They only got like three or four snaps together on the field with 13 personnel. But if you're going to go out and you want to run the ball or whatever, you go 13 personnel with Keon out there, and they put sauce on Keon, don't you just run right behind Keon and have Keon like plant sauce in the bench area? Because sauce cannot hold up against Keon.
Keon. And then I think if you're doing that, you're probably running – you're saying that we're probably going to be running more outside plays, more zone plays.
Because
the thick of their defense is in the middle.
Yeah, you got to run the stretch against.
Although, let's not forget. Last year, week 6, Bills at Jets, Cook out injured, Ray Davis, 9 run plays on the first, 9 out of 10 plays on the opening drive, run plays.
Set the tone.
Buried Sauce Gardner 3 yards deep in the end zone. On the goal line run, but They took it right at them downhill. Now, James has popped up on the injury report this week, but he said he's fine. He's going to play. And he was a full participant in practice today.
Right.
So you have James and you have Ray.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you want to go back to that page in the playbook again and say, we're just going to run you over and dictate that we're more physical than you.
Well, I
guarantee, that's what Aaron Glenn is trying to instill in this team right now, right?
Exactly, yeah. I tell you what, if I'm the Jets, I'm watching this game here where Ray Davis did have his coming out party.
Yeah.
I'm watching a game like this because this could be that. And I guarantee you, Aaron Glenn, who I know very, very well, has probably put this tape on already to see that, hey, this is what they're going to do. They're going to be physical. Yeah. It kind of reminds like a Detroit team.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to line up and pretty much like Ed was against Baltimore, our front guys.
Right.
It's going to be a dogfight. Let's see who can be more physical up
Ray,
front.
Yeah,
and
Davis.
I think Ray is that guy. You know, I'm a Cook guy. I love Cook. I would love to see him in there. But Ray is kind of a guy who is built for this. And
downhill running.
Downhill running, yeah. So
they, I mean, you had some guys, I'm not saying they were shying away from it, but they knew it was coming. He wasn't dodging anybody.
No, he wasn't dodging anybody.
He wasn't like trying to get down and shake and shimmy. He was like, let's go.
Yeah. You're talking about Ray.
Yeah, he was a little Maurice
Jones-y.
You
can see it on those highlights there. Those guys are kind of break down. You kind of wait for the guy to like give you a step and go the other way. Ray ain't doing any of that.
Yeah. So
no, I'm not cutting.
I am not faking you out. It was a different.
We have a guy for that.
And that was – that was, I think, surprising about that game. And I think that first drive caught the Jets off guard.
Yeah.
And it was a really nice way to open that game because mm-hmm. it set a tone. Now they had something in the back of them. The whole rest of the game,
yeah.
It was out there. They were just going to turn around and hand it to the guy.
Yeah.
I see that. I mean, who knows better than the Bills now about what it is to have that coming out of the opening game.
Game.
I mean, they were getting their heads caved in by Derrick Henry and Lamar in that first series. I mean, they know what it's like.
It's
a great statement to make if you can do it.
Yeah. And our offensive line played great again.
Yeah, I thought a lot of offsides, a lot of holding penalties.
Yeah.
They were a little bit sloppy in that regard. But, yes, that physically they were good.
I think they were really good. So, yeah, I'm excited. Like I said, I'm –
I'm kind of with you, man. Let's tee it up.
It's a different game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's also remember the last Joe Brady game plan against an Aaron Glenn defense. That's the Detroit game as well. And Detroit liked to keep their linebackers on the field in base defense.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Brady said, okay, I'm going to put Ty Johnson on the field, and he's going to beat every one of your linebackers in coverage. And he ends up with 5 catches for 114 yards and a touchdown.
Right.
He's like the main component of that game
Right out of the chute, yeah.
I don't know if the Jets are going to play 3 linebackers much.
Do they have 3 linebackers compared to, you know, how great Detroit linebackers
well,
are?
Well, let's remember Detroit's linebackers were injured. Alex Anzalone was out of that game injured.
Okay.
No Aiden Hutchinson off the edge. He's out, you know, with a broken leg. They were missing a couple of DBs, too.
Okay.
So they were a little shorthanded. But here are your Jets starting linebackers. Quincy Williams, who's mm-hmm. a really good athlete.
Yep.
Jamie and Sherwood, really good athlete. And then Marcelino McCrary-Ball, who's a second-year player who didn't start as a rookie but is, quote-unquote, their third linebacker now when they're not in the nickel themselves.
Right.
And we only have a 1-game sample to go off of. With this personnel. So
yeah,
hard think, to say.
Yeah.
Right?
I think you can look at it again. You'd look back at that Detroit game. 9 different guys caught a ball for the Bills.
Right.
9 guys.
But it was clear
nobody
they saw a mismatch with Ty Johnson at the beginning.
That's right.
They clearly saw that.
Ty Johnson had, let's see, where
5 for 114.
He had 5 for 114. On 5 targets, he got 5 targets, 5 catches. So it was
including that off-script play when Josh heaved it down the field to the 5-yard line and he caught it.
That's right. Kincaid got 7 targets, 4 receptions. Shakir got 7 with 6 receptions. Nobody else had more than 3.
Yeah. So Michael Carter is their nickel, so he'll be on Shakir.
Yeah.
That there may be something in that because they didn't let. Well, they let if they wanted to. They let the Lions. Last year with Aaron Glenn, they let the Lions pick their guy, and we just picked somebody else. You know, they could match up, and the matchups were the Bills. Now, it was a defense that was riddled by injury.
Yeah.
You got to take that into account,
too. They were a little
shorthanded. They were shorthanded. So I don't know how much you take away from it. Yeah.
Cook had over 100 yards rushing.
Oh, yeah, because he had that 41-yard touchdown.
Oh, that's right. That's
where he got his hair.
That's over 200 yards for the running backs, baby.
Yeah. He still had 13 for 60. So it was.
Now, you don't usually do that against the Jets defense.
Right.
Usually.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see.
Aaron Glenn's defense.
I'm very curious to see Joe Brady's approach is, knowing what his game plan was against an Aaron Glenn defense last year in Detroit. And then what his approach was in week 6 against the Jets when he said, let's just pound the rock here at the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
So, odds are it's going to be completely different to both of those.
Bill's old friend Harrison Phillips is inside with Quinnen Williams.
He's defensive tackle now because the Jets traded for him with Minnesota.
That'll be interesting to see how that goes.
Oh, boy.
With him down inside there. He's a steady player.
Stand in there and grind. Yeah.
Yes,
right?
He's a
hold up couple of guys, let your linebackers run and hit.
He's a helper and is what he is.
When he got traded, first text I get from was from John Randall, and he said, "Oh, I hated to see him go. He was a tough little plugger.
He's a motor player.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that fits right along with John Randall.
Yeah, and it also fits along with Aaron Glenn too. Yeah.
I don't know if his mouth runs as well as John Randall's does.
Oh my gosh.
Listen, John
that
Randall.
Guy's never had nothing to say.
John Randall's one of one, but yeah.
One of one. That's my guy.
So what do you think, Thurman? Do you think this is uncomfortably close for a while, this game?
Yeah, I think so.
I think
it's close, too.
I don't know what score. It's these guys early in the year.
Yeah, I mean, especially back-to-back physical games like this, I think this will be close. But I think the way that we're playing now, you know, hey, somebody's got to step up for this game. It can't always be Josh. Like for it to be always, but it can't be. So, I just think it's
– if they just give Josh some outlets and give him some places to put the football, it'll be good.
Yeah. If he's not pressured and running around, I think, I absolutely love our chances.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, even with him doing that, it's still to our advantage that he can – make a play. So
you won't see the Jets.
I don't think you'll see him panic or anything or anybody on the Bills sideline panic. I think this is like a game plan, which we know is going to be physical. Whatever we do better than them, we should win the game.
I think the Jets will do their best to make Josh beat them from the pocket. They'll rush in. They won't do any stunt game up front. They may have a spy.
They might not blitz, right?
They won't blitz.
They won't blitz.
They're going to bring it and let Josh win. They're going to force Josh to stand there like a pocket quarterback because they don't want to take his legs out.
So basically what they're going to be doing is that Aaron Glenn is going to be telling those four guys up front, this needs to be your best football game as far as rushing the pass and getting pressure and staying in your lane.
But here's the pocket.
It starts out like this.
Listen, and you drop
Aaron Glenn will tell his team, listen, we are not going to sack the guy. You're not going to be able to sack him, but make sure he doesn't run off.
Right.
Because nobody sacks him. He got sacked in the Baltimore game because he said, you know what, it's bad series. I'm just going to take this sack right here. He decides when he gets sacked.
I know. It's kind of weird that you say that because it is.
He decides, this one's done. I'm just going to go down. That's it. You can bet Aaron Glenn and the defense is saying, listen, you're probably not going to get a sack, but what you want to do is just close it in, make him get rid of the ball before he wants to.
Yeah.
Don't let him run out of the pocket.
Yeah.
If you can do that, we'll see what we can do on the back end.
Yeah, if we get a couple of sacks, that's a bonus.
That's right.
That's it.
Therm, thanks for coming in. Always good
appreciate
to see
it.
You. We'll catch up with you.
You know,
maybe not next week because it's a short week.
It's a short week.
But maybe the week after for the Saints game.
Yeah.
Always great to have you stopping by. That's the appreciate Hall of Famer Thurman Thomas joining us.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.